after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. The BKA began to tape telephone conversations between suspected terrorists in Germany and Zarqawi in Afghanistan and Iran. The BKA, the German equivalent of the FBI, taped 41 conversations between October 19, 2001, and April 7, 2002. Most conversations took place between Zarqawi and Abu Ali, his closest subordinate in Germany. Others were among Zarqawi's followers in Germany or between his German and Jordanian followers. This intelligence report was compiled by the BKA in April 2002 and provides an interesting snapshot of Zarqawi's organization as it made the transition from its base in Afghanistan to Iran after 9/11. Sometime in 2002, Zarqawi would then move to Iraq. Zarqawi's personal data. Mobile phone in Iran, 00989135153994. Fax number in Iran, 00982187577638. Satellite phone, 00870762724528 and 00870762944549. Email address, alzabh@yahoo.com. Zarqawi's names and aliases. The speakers tried to cover up the identity of Zarqawi by using a host of different names for him. When addressing him directly, they called him Habib or Muhannad. When talking to others about him, they would also call him al-Zarqawi or Abu Musab. Occasionally, they would refer to him as al-Gharib, Abu Hussein, or Aizen. Once, someone called him Ezarija. In some cases, one speaker would have to use several names before his interlocutor realized he talked about Zarqawi. The many different names created some confusion. Code words. University, prison. Hospital, imprisonment. Possibly pigs, Americans. Butterflies, helicopters. Girl or female dancer, forged passport. Journal, passport. Band-aid, visa, possibly. Probably firm, terrorist organization. To be sick, under observation by the police. Communication. In Afghanistan, Zarqawi used satellite telephones. From Iran, he used the landline of his friend Rashid Harun. Telephone number 00989112311436. Reorganization of Al-Tawhid, the Jordanian terrorist organization. In early 2002, Zarqawi indicated he wanted to reorganize Al-Tawhid. The BKA assumes that the previous structure had been destroyed by the war in Afghanistan and that Zarqawi wanted to seize the opportunity to build up a new organization under his leadership. During that time, the whole terrorist network was in a state of shift. The training camps in Afghanistan had to be abandoned, and the terrorists had to regroup themselves in neighboring countries, particularly Iran and Pakistan. Communication with friends and colleagues in foreign countries becomes increasingly difficult because the security services were tightening their control and most telephone lines are under surveillance. A few conversations between some of Zarqawi's German followers suggest that the reorganization was unlikely to happen at Zarqawi's then-residence Iran because the authorities did not support his political activities. Saif Adel, al-Qaeda's military commander, describes how Zarqawi left Iran for Iraq in 2002 as the United States was gearing up for the invasion of Iraq. Abu Musab Zarqawi and his Jordanian and Palestinian comrades opted to go to Iraq. Following a long debate, their skin color and Jordanian dialect would enable them to integrate into the Iraqi society easily. Our expectations of the situation indicated that the Americans would inevitably make a mistake and invade Iraq sooner or later. Such an invasion would aim at overthrowing the regime. Therefore, we should play an important role in the resistance. Contrary to what the Americans frequently reiterated, Al-Qaeda did not have any relationship with Saddam Hussein or his regime. We had to draw up a plan to enter Iraq through the north that was not under the control of Saddam's regime. We would then spread south to the areas of our fraternal Sunni brothers. The fraternal brothers of the Ansar al-Islam, a Kurdish jihadist group based in northern Iraq, expressed their willingness to offer assistance to help us achieve this goal. The goal was to go to Sunni areas in central Iraq and begin to prepare for confrontations to face the U.S. invasion and defeat the Americans. The German BKA traced Zarqawi's progress from Iran to northern Iraq in early or mid-2002 to an area outside of the control of Saddam Hussein's regime. There, Zarqawi made contact with the Islamist terrorist group Ansar al-Islam. He made a deal with its leader to begin a campaign against U.S. targets in Iraq following the impending U.S. ground invasion. From the BKA report. After the military intervention of the U.S.-led armed forces at the end of 2001 in Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda members are said to have traveled from Afghanistan via Iran into the territory of Ansar al-Islam in northern Iraq. There were said to be a group of 20 to 25 Jordanians and Syrians among them who were said to have been led by Zarqawi. A close collaboration between Zarqawi and Ansar al-Islam was also substantiated by the statements of the Jordanian citizen Ahmed al-Rayati. According to al-Rayati, a meeting between Mullah Krekar, the leader of Ansar al-Islam, and al-Zarqawi took place probably in mid-2002 in Iraq. During this meeting, both are said to have agreed to equip a group of about 15 persons with weapons and explosive charges in order to carry out attacks against foreigners and American targets in Jordan. In early 2004, U.S. intelligence intercepted a letter from Zarqawi to bin Laden in which he advises bin Laden on the situation in Iraq and proposes a strategy for carrying forward the jihad. At its core, Zarqawi suggests unleashing a civil war between Sunnis and Shia, something bin Laden has historically rejected in seeking to restore a unified caliphate. And also because senior al-Qaeda leaders are living under some form of arrest in largely Shia Iran. The Coalition Provisional Authority published the translated letter in February 2004, excerpts of which follow. To the men on the mountaintops, that is, bin Laden and Zawahiri, to the hawks of glory, peace and the mercy and blessings of God be upon you. Even if our bodies are far apart, the distance between our hearts is close. I send you an account of Iraq. After study and examination, we can narrow our enemy down to four groups. 1. The Americans. These, as you know, are the most cowardly of God's creatures. They are an easy quarry, praise be to God. We ask God to enable us to kill and capture them, to sow panic among those behind them, and to trade them for our detained brothers. 2. The Kurds. These are a lump in the throat and a thorn whose time to be clipped has yet to come. They are last on the list, even though we are making efforts to harm some of their symbolic figures, God willing. 3. Soldiers, police, and agents. These are the eyes, ears, and hands of the occupier through which he sees, hears, and delivers violent blows. God willing, we are determined to target them strongly in the coming period before the situation is consolidated. 4. The Shia. These, in our opinion, are the key to change. I mean that targeting and hitting them in their religious, political, and military depth will provoke them to show the Sunnis the hidden rancor working in their breasts. If we succeed in dragging them into the arena of sectarian war, it will become possible to awaken the inattentive Sunnis as they feel imminent danger. Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri, you, gracious brothers, are the leaders, guides, and symbolic figures of jihad and battle. We do not see ourselves as fit to challenge you, and we have never striven to achieve glory for ourselves. All that we hope is that we will be the spearhead, the enabling vanguard, and the bridge on which the Islamic nation crosses over to the victory that is promised and the tomorrow to which we aspire. This is our vision. If you are convinced of the idea of fighting the sects of apostasy, the Shia, we will be your readied soldiers, working under your banner, complying with your orders, and indeed swearing fealty to you publicly and in the news media. If things appear otherwise to you, we are brothers, and the disagreement will not spoil our friendship. Awaiting your response, may God preserve you. Hutaifa Azam, the son of Abdullah Azam, has known Zarqawi well for more than a decade. Here, he insists that the relationship between Zarqawi and bin Laden became strong only after the U.S. occupation of Iraq in 2003. Zarqawi had no relations with Osama until he left to Iraq. His relation with Osama started 1 year ago in 2004 through the Internet. An unlikely supporter of this view is Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, who spoke at a meeting at the Council on Foreign Relations in New York on October 4, 2004. In the case of al-Qaeda, my impression is most of the senior people have actually sworn an oath to Osama bin Laden, and to my knowledge, even as of this late date, I don't believe Zarqawi, the principal leader of the network in Iraq, has sworn an oath. A couple of weeks after Rumsfeld's comment, on October 17, 2004, Zarqawi issued an online statement in the name of his Tawhid group, pledging allegiance to bin Laden. Zarqawi adopted a new name for his group, Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And so nearly 2 years after Bush officials had first argued that Zarqawi was part of Al-Qaeda, the Jordanian terrorist finally got around to swearing loyalty to bin Laden. From Zarqawi's statement: "Let it be known that Al-Tawhid pledges both its leaders and its soldiers to the Mujahid commander Sheikh Osama bin Laden, in word and in deed, and to jihad for the sake of God until there is no more discord among the ranks of Islam and all of the religion turns toward God. By God, O Sheikh of the Mujahideen, if you bid us plunge into the ocean, we would follow you. If you ordered it so, we would obey. If you forbade us something, we would abide by your wishes. For what a fine commander you are to the armies of Islam, against the inveterate infidels and apostates." From a bin Laden audio tape that aired on Al Jazeera on December 27, 2004, welcoming Zarqawi into Al-Qaeda: "I believe that the dignified brother Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and the groups affiliated with him are good and from the group that fights according to the orders of God. We were pleased with their daring operations against the Americans. We in the Al-Qaeda organization warmly welcome their union with us. It should be known that the Mujahid brother Abu Musab al-Zarqawi is the emir of the Al-Qaeda organization in the land of the two rivers. The brothers in the group there should heed his orders and obey him in all that which is good." Zarqawi followed up his pledge of allegiance to bin Laden with a letter in May 2005. In the following excerpt, the letter asks deferentially for orders from Al-Qaeda's leader: "From a soldier standing in the line of fire, from Abu Musab al-Zarqawi to his great prince Osama bin Laden, may God grant him with his blessings and give him the best of his divine generosity. Our prince, we ask to God to keep you safe and give you a longer life, make you a thorn in the side of the enemies, and to make you a martyr at the end. We are waiting for your directions and orders." What follows is an edited version of a letter that Ayman al-Zawahiri sent to an associate of Zarqawi's in July 2005. The letter, which was intercepted by U.S. forces in Iraq and made public in mid-October 2005, provides a fascinating glimpse of Zawahiri unplugged, bemoaning the mistakes that al-Qaeda has made by not connecting to the masses and urging Zarqawi not to make this same mistake with his campaign against the Shia and his habit of beheading his victims. "Dear brother, God Almighty knows how much I miss meeting with you, how much I long to join you in your historic battle against the greatest of criminals and apostates in the heart of the Islamic world, the field where epic and major battles in the history of Islam were fought. I think that if I could find a way to you, I would not delay a day, God willing. My dear brother, we are following your news, despite the difficulty and hardship. We received your last published message sent to Sheikh Osama bin Laden, God save him, a possible reference to Zarqawi's October 2004 Pledge of Allegiance to bin Laden. Likewise, I made sure in my last speech that Al Jazeera broadcast Saturday, 18 June 2005, to mention you, send you greetings, and show support and thanks for the heroic acts you are performing in defense of Islam and the Muslims. I want to reassure you about our situation. The summer started hot with operations escalating in Afghanistan. The real danger comes from the agent Pakistani army that is carrying out operations in the tribal areas looking for Mujahideen. So we must think for a long time about our next steps and how we want to attain it. And it is my humble opinion that the jihad in Iraq requires several incremental goals. The first stage, expel the Americans from Iraq. The second stage, establish an Islamic authority or emirate, then develop it and support it until it achieves the level of a caliphate, over as much territory as you can to spread its power in Iraq, that is, in Sunni areas. The third stage, extend the jihad wave to the secular countries neighboring Iraq. The fourth stage, it may coincide with what came before, the clash with Israel, because Israel was established only to challenge any new Islamic entity. If we look at the two short-term goals, which are removing the Americans and establishing an Islamic emirate in Iraq, then we will see that the strongest weapon which the Mujahideen enjoy, after the help and granting of success by God, is popular support from the Muslim masses in Iraq and the surrounding Muslim countries. The Muslim masses, for many reasons, and this is not the place to discuss it, do not rally except against an outside occupying enemy, especially if the enemy is firstly Jewish and secondly American. Therefore, the Mujahid movement must avoid any action that the masses do not understand or approve. We don't want to repeat the mistake of the Taliban, who restricted participation in governance to the religious students and the people of Kandahar alone. They did not have any representation for the Afghan people in their ruling regime, so the result was that the Afghan people disengaged themselves from them. Even devout ones took the stance of the spectator, and when the invasion came, the Taliban emirate collapsed in days, because the people were either passive or hostile. Therefore, I stress again to you and to all your brothers the need to direct the political action equally with the military action by the alliance, cooperation, and gathering of all leaders of opinion and influence in the Iraqi arena. I can't define for you a specific means of action. You are more knowledgeable about the field conditions. But you and your brothers must strive to have around you circles of support, assistance, and cooperation, and through them to advance until you become a consensus, entity, organization, or association that represents all the honorable people in Iraq. I repeat the warning against separating from the masses, whatever the danger. For that reason, many of your Muslim admirers amongst the common folk are wondering about your attacks on the Shia. The sharpness of this questioning increases when the attacks are on one of their mosques. My opinion is that this matter won't be acceptable to the Muslim populace, however much you have tried to explain it, and aversion to this will continue. Among the things which the feelings of the Muslim populace who love and support you will never find palatable are the scenes of slaughtering the hostages. You shouldn't be deceived by the praise of some of the zealous young men and their description of you as the Sheikh of the slaughterers, etc. I say to you that we are in a battle, and that more than half of this battle is taking place in the battlefield of the media. I have a definite desire to travel to you, but I do not know whether that is possible from the standpoint of traveling and getting settled, so please let me know. As for my personal condition, I am in good health, blessings and wellness thanks to God and His grace. I am only lacking your pious prayers, in which I beg you not to forget me. God Almighty has blessed me with a daughter whom I have named Nawar, and Nawar means the timid female gazelle and the woman who is free from suspicion. Your loving brother, Abu Muhammad Ayman al-Zawahiri. Saturday, 9 July, 2005. Unless we plan to occupy Iraq indefinitely, there remains the question of what the foreign fighters led by the Jordanian Zarqawi will do when the war ends. It would be nice if they returned to their respective countries to rejoin civilian life. Judging from the blowback generated by veterans of the Afghan war against the Soviets, these fighters will more likely swap business cards, gain impressive battle skills and bragging rights, and become the new shock troops of the international jihadist movement. Several factors could make blowback from the Iraq war even more dangerous than the fallout from Afghanistan. Foreign fighters started to arrive in Iraq even before Saddam Hussein's regime fell. They have conducted most of the suicide bombings, including some that have delivered strategic successes such as the withdrawal of most international aid organizations and the United Nations. And the Jordanian Zarqawi is perhaps the most effective insurgent commander in the field. They are more battle-hardened than the Afghan Arabs, who fought demoralized Soviet army conscripts. Foreign fighters in Iraq today are testing themselves against arguably the best army in history, acquiring skills in their battles against coalition forces that will be far more useful for future terrorist operations than those their counterparts learned during the 1980s. Mastering how to make improvised explosive devices or how to conduct suicide operations is more relevant to urban terrorism than the conventional guerrilla tactics that were used against the Red Army in Afghanistan. U.S. military commanders say that techniques perfected in Iraq are already spreading to the war in Afghanistan. Finally, foreign involvement in the Iraqi conflict will likely lead Iraqi nationals to become international terrorists. The Afghans were glad to have Arab money, but were culturally, religiously, and psychologically removed from the Afghan Arabs. They neither joined Al-Qaeda nor identified with its radical theology. Iraqis, however, are closer culturally to the foreign fighters, and some will volunteer to continue other jihads even after the United States departs their country.
This ends Disc 13.